Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Q2 FY24 earnings conference call of Glenmark Pharmaceuticals Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Utkarsh Gandhi, General Manager, Investor Relations for Glenmark Pharmaceuticals. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Lizanne. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Q2 FY24 results conference call of Glenmark Pharmaceuticals Limited. We'll just review the overall performance of the company for the second quarter of FY24. For the second quarter of FY24, Glenmark's consolidated revenue from operations was at rupees 35,879 million, as against rupees 33,752 million in the corresponding quarter last year, recording an overall year-on-year growth of 6.3%. For the six months ended September 30, 2023, Glenmark's consolidated revenue was 69,895 million, as against rupees 61,525 million, recording an increase of 13.6%. Some key updates on the formulation business, starting with India. Sales from the formulation business in India in the second quarter of FY24 were at rupees 11,217 million, as against rupees 10,916 million in the corresponding quarter last year, recording a year-on-year growth of 2.8%. The lower growth was mainly on account of the impact of the divestment of few non-core brands and some impact of the NLEM price revisions, as well as an overall slowdown in the acute respiratory and dermatology therapy areas in the first six months of FY24. The India business contribution was at 31.3% in the second quarter of FY24, compared to 32.3% last year. The Indian pharma market witnessed a slowdown in the acute segment, particularly on the respiratory side. Volume growth in the key therapy areas, such as respiratory and dermatology, were hence impacted in the first six months. Accordingly, as per IQVIA data, for the second quarter, Glenmark's India formulation business recorded a growth of 5.4% compared to overall market growth of about 6.9%. In the second quarter, Glenmark's growth remained strong in the cardiac segment, but was impacted in other therapy areas. Glenmark's India business continued to be ranked 14th with a market share of 2.11% as per IQVIA MAT September data. The company continues to have nine brands in the IPM top 300, and in terms of key therapeutic areas, Glenmark is ranked second in both dermatology and respiratory, and fifth in cardiac segment, and 17 in the diabetes segment as per IQVIA MAT September data. Glenmark has improved its market share marginally in spite of the challenging environment in Q2. And if you see the IQVIA MAT September data, we have improved our market share in most of our therapy areas, most of the key therapy areas. In August 2023, Glenmark also announced that it had joined with Omron Healthcare India, the Indian arm of the Japanese global leader in home blood pressure monitoring and solutions for cardiovascular disease, to raise awareness on measuring blood pressure at home from the age of 18. This collaboration is named as Take Charge at 18 initiative and comprises of generating effective communication to enhance awareness about blood pressure monitoring in India. The company continues to have a healthy pipeline of differentiated products, which it plans to launch in the market going forward. In terms of the consumer care business in India, primary sales for the GCC business in the second quarter were rupees 634 million, with a growth of 15%. Our flagship brand, Candid Powder, delivered revenue growth of 10% in the second quarter. La Shield portfolio delivered 23% growth, and the scalp portfolio recorded about 29% growth. Scalp also recorded 41% growth in new to brand orders, and it is also amongst the leading anti-dandruff shampoos in large e-commerce channels such as Amazon. And recently, Candid Dusting Powder was also recognized with the Economic Times Iconic Brand Awards in 2023. Moving on to North America, the North America business registered a revenue of ₹7,392 million, which is about $89.4 million for the second quarter, as against revenue of ₹7,533 million, which is about $95 million for the second quarter of FY23. This translates into a YOY decline of about 1.9%. For the second quarter, the North America business contribution was at about 20.6% compared to 22% last year. In the second quarter, Glenmark launched the previously approved norethindrone ethinyl estradiol capsule and ferrous fumarate capsule, the generic for Tetula. Glenmark received approval and launched saxagliptin tablets and tacrolimus ointment 0.03%. Glenmark also launched varenicline tablets through a partnership. These launches are expected to contribute to the overall sales growth for the region starting the third quarter of FY24. Glenmark filed two ANDAs during the second quarter, and the company plans to file a total of 10 to 12 ANDAs for FY24. Glenmark's marketing portfolio through September 30th consists of 185 generic products authorized for distribution in the US market. And the company currently has 51 applications pending at various stages of the approval process with the US FDA, of which 21 are Para 4 applications. In August 2023, Glenmark Pharmaceuticals Inc. announced that it had entered into an agreement with the US Department of Justice Antitrust Division to resolve all of its court proceedings with the DOJ involving historical pricing practices by former employees relating to the generic drug pravastatin between 2013 and 2015. The company has entered into a three-year deferred prosecution agreement, and if the company adheres to the terms of the agreement, including payment of $30 million, payable in six installments, the DOJ will dismiss the pending superseding indictment. Moving on to Europe, Glenmark's Europe operations revenue for the second quarter of FY24 were at ₹5,997 million, as against ₹3,785 million, recording a year-on-year growth of 58.4%. Europe business contributes 16.7% to the total revenues as of Q2 FY24 compared to about 11% last year. Glenmark's revenue, European operations continued the strong trajectory given by a robust uptick in the branded business and a sustained growth in the generics business as well. The Western European business clocked strong 30% growth for the Q2, mainly led by the key markets such as UK, which recorded strong growth on the back of generic business as well as uptake from the respiratory pipeline. The Czech and Poland markets in the Central and Eastern European region also recorded strong double-digit sales growth during the quarter. Glenmark continues to outperform the Czech market in terms of growth as per IQVIA MAT September data. The respiratory portfolio launched by Glenmark in Europe continues to do well. Some of the key brands such as Ryaltris and Salmex continue to sustain their market share both in terms of value as well as volume across the central and particularly across the CE markets. During the second quarter, Glenmark also launched Ryaltris in Slovakia, which is another key CE market for us. And Menarini, Glenmark's partner for Ryaltris in the European market, recorded strong growth across multiple markets where it has launched the product. In Q2, Glenmark Specialty, a subsidiary of Glenmark and Cosmo, announced the signing and distribution agreements for Winlevi, which is clascoterone cream 1% in Europe and South Africa. Under the terms, Glenmark will receive the exclusive right to commercialize Winlevi in 15 EU markets, as well as South Africa and the UK. Cassopia, which is a subsidiary of Cosmo, shall be responsible for the marketing authorization submission at the EMA, and Glenmark will undertake the registration for the product in the UK and South Africa. ROW region, for the second quarter of FY24, revenue from the ROW region was at ₹7,324 million, as against ₹6,154 million for the corresponding quarter last year, recording a growth of 19%. For the second quarter, the ROW business contribution was 20.4% compared to 18% last year. The company continued to witness strong growth in the base business across the sub-regions of the ROW market. In Russia, as per IQVIA Q2 and MAT data, Glenmark business recorded 16% and 17% growth in value respectively. This has been driven by key brands including Ascoril, Montelukast, Ryaltris. Ryaltris has sustained its momentum and continues to gain market share even during the second quarter. In terms of key therapeutic areas, Glenmark recorded 21% growth in value in the dermatology segment versus the overall dermatology market growth of about 9.6% as per MAT September data. And amongst the dermatology companies, Glenmark is now ranked 8 as per the MAT September data. And amongst the companies present in the expectorant market, Glenmark maintains a strong position, ranking 2nd. Key recent launches in Russia include Ascoril LS and Fenismart, which is the dimetidine gel. The Asia region recorded about 10% growth in secondary sales, driven by markets like Philippines, Sri Lanka, and Vietnam. Dermatology and respiratory continue to be the key therapeutic areas, contributing significantly to the overall sales in Asia. Ryaltris, which was launched by Glenmark in Malaysia in the first quarter of FY24, has seen a strong pickup in the market. Ryaltris also in Australia, launched by a partner, continues to hold about 18% share across the top allergic rhinitis products. And in South Korea, where the product was launched recently by our partner Yuan Corporation, Ryaltris is now ranked 1st in the combination prescription market and 4th in the overall prescription market for inhaled nasal sprays. So that it has seen a strong start in South Korea as well. The Middle East Africa region recorded about 15% growth in sales during the second quarter of FY24. Glenmark continued to be ranked 3rd in the overall Kenya market and has recorded 25% growth in secondary sales. Further, the company continued to achieve strong secondary sales growth across other key markets in the region like South Africa, UAE, and other African markets. Respiratory and dermatology, again, are the key therapeutic areas in this region. And Ryaltris, which was launched in Saudi Arabia in the first quarter of FY24, the product has received good response in the market. The product will be launched in other Middle East Africa markets in Q3 and Q4 as well. Latin America achieved double-digit growth in second quarter of FY24. The respiratory portfolio remained a key contributor for Glenmark in this region. Glenmark Brazil achieved about 20% growth in the covered market as per IQVIA YTD August 2023 data. And it continues to maintain its rank amongst the top companies in the covered market of chronic respiratory segment in Brazil. And secondary sales growth has remained strong in Mexico as well. And Glenmark is growing at about 18% value in terms of the covered market as per IQVIA YTD August 2023 data. In terms of our respiratory pipeline, some key business updates for the global respiratory business, starting with Ryaltris. As of the end of second quarter of FY24, marketing applications for Ryaltris have been submitted in more than 70 markets. The product has been commercialized in 29 markets, including all the major markets that we alluded to earlier. Glenmark's partner in the EU, Menarini, intends to launch the product in other additional EU markets in FY24. Hikma, Glenmark's commercial partner in the US, continued to see strong prescriptions in the second quarter. And Glenmark's partner in mainland China, Grand Pharmaceuticals, has successfully completed the Phase 3 clinical trial with the product meeting the primary endpoint. The NDA submission to the National Medicines Product Administration is targeted for December 2023. We have provided some key market shares for Ryaltris across the key geographies. In terms of other key respiratory products, the clinical trial is ongoing for the generic Flovent PMDI. We expect to file it in FY24. And we plan to file one more respiratory EPMDI in the US in FY25 and continue the momentum beyond that. A quick update on our innovative R&D pipeline. So GRC54276, which is the HPK1 inhibitor. This is a novel orally active HPK1 inhibitor that demonstrates standalone efficacy and enhances current immunotherapy efficacy. It is being evaluated in a first-in-human phase 1 study. Part 1A of the monotherapy phase is ongoing in India since July 2022. Additional subjects are being recruited in the 50 mg monotherapy backfill cohort. And the phase one, part 1B combination study with pembrolizumab and atezolizumab was initiated in India and the US in the first quarter of FY24 and second quarter of FY24 respectively. And as of the second quarter, two dose cohorts have been completed and the study is ongoing. And GRC-39815 is the company's respiratory pipeline being developed as an inhaled therapy for mild to moderate COPD. It is currently under phase one development in the US. Glenmark Life Sciences external sales for GLS in the second quarter were at ₹3,930 million as against ₹3,744 million in Q2 last year, recording a YOY growth of 5%. In September 2023, Glenmark announced that it had entered into a definitive agreement with Nirma Limited to divest 75% stake in its subsidiary Glenmark Life Sciences at a price of 615 rupees per share for an aggregate consideration of ₹56,515 million, subject to closing adjustments. Glenmark would continue to own 7.84% in GLS after the divestment. The transaction is subject to some customary closing conditions precedent, including receipt of regulatory and shareholder approvals. For further updates, you can log on to the GLS website. And a quick update on Ichnos. So Glenmark invested ₹1,613 million, which is about $19.6 million in Ichnos in the second quarter of FY24, compared to about $22 million in the corresponding quarter last year. For the first 6 months, Glenmark has invested ₹3,030 million, which is about $36.8 million US dollars, compared to about $43 million US dollars, which was invested in the previous year. Some additional notes to the results. Forex loss for the quarter was about 43 crores, which was recorded in other expenses. If we exclude this, the EBITDA margin for the consolidated business was at 18.8% in the second quarter. Exceptional item in the quarter and for the half year, respectively, comprises of the US DOJ settlement related costs to the settlement and remediation costs for the manufacturing facilities in India and the US. Some key figures for the consolidated business. So R&D expenditure in second quarter was around 324 crores, which is 9% of the revenue from operations. And the Ichnos investment, as we noted earlier, was 19.6 million for the second quarter. Consolidated total asset addition in the quarter was ₹249.7 crores, of which tangible asset was about 162.8 crores and intangible asset was about 86.9 crores. Consolidated gross debt for the period ended September 30th was at ₹4921 crores as against ₹4348 crores as of March 31st, 2023. Net debt for the period ended September 30th was at ₹3,355 crores as against ₹2,905 crores as of March 31st, 2023. Increase in net debt was mainly on account of the settlement payment for the generic Zetia litigation and payment related to the settlement agreement with the US DOJ. In terms of working capital at the end of September, inventory was at ₹3,319 crores as against ₹2,978 crores at the end of March. Receivables was at ₹3,679 crores as against ₹4,099 crores at the end of March. And payables was at ₹2,289 crores as against ₹2,392 crores at the end of March. Given the changes in the organization, mainly the GLS divestment, we would just like to provide some key comments on how we see the way forward for Glenmark before we start the Q&A. So the first important point is that we are expecting the GLS transaction will get recognized in Q3 FY24 after receiving the required regulatory and other approvals. We are considering this year as a transition year on account of the GLS divestment, which is obviously been a big event. In FY25, the GPL core EBITDA margins will go up by approximately 2% due to the lower R&D spend, primarily on account of the lower innovative R&D expenditure. Additionally, we are expecting further margin expansion in FY25 to come from Ryaltris and operating leverage kicking in across markets like Europe and Latin America. And we expect significant PAT margin growth in FY25, mainly on account of the lower interest, depreciation, and tax expenses once we consummate the GLS transaction. So with that, we can open the floor up for Q&A. I would just like to introduce the management on the call today. We have Mr. Glenn Saldanha, Chairman and Managing Director, Glenmark Pharmaceuticals, Mr. V.S. Mani, Executive Director and Global CFO, Glenmark Pharmaceuticals. So over to you, Lizanne.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone wishing to ask a question may please press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Tushar Manudhane from Motilal Oswal Financial Services. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. So, sir, first on the bookkeeping part, like 325 crore is the exceptional loss. Even if I exclude 30 million of that settlement payment, still the remaining amount is considerable. Is it largely to do with the remediation measures?
Yeah, I'll take that, Tushar. So obviously, one is the remediation is only about 26 crores in this quarter, Tushar. 20 in India and about 6 in the US. As we earlier also, we all had sort of, you know, guided that as we go along, these costs are coming down and it's come down in this quarter. So the balance is basically about, you know, the DOJ settlement of 30 plus million and the allied legal costs that we provide with that, which will be part of that. So that is the reason why it is about 324.
Understood. So derma as a therapy in India has witnessed good slowdown. So any particular reasons to highlight here?
So I think, look, in the second quarter, right, we saw a slowdown in two of our core therapies, right? Main is respiratory, you know, the acute business. There was a slowdown in the acute business in the second quarter, which impacted our respiratory sales. And derm, there has been a slight slowdown in the second quarter. However, you know, we are seeing a strong recovery in the third quarter. So in the month of October, we grew 19%, right, as per IMS. So India business, we think from here on, right, will come back strongly. And I think respiratory has been a big dampener in the second quarter, which is coming back strongly in the third quarter. So I think overall we continue to believe that India will do well, you know, this year and going forward.
Understood. Thirdly, this US sales has been, you know, gradually slipping sub 100 million now. So when do we see, you know, this segment reviving?
So US, you know, second quarter was a tough quarter for us because, you know, when you think about, you know, we had some supply disruptions because of some of the remediation work that is ongoing in the second quarter. However, in the third quarter, we think, you know, we've resolved all that and we are back with full supply in the third quarter. Additionally, I think in the third quarter, we have almost four or five good launches. I think the Varenicline partnership that we did with Mankind, the product we in-licensed, we've got some good market share there. And I think we have almost three injectables getting launched in this quarter through some partnerships. So that coupled with some of our in-house launches. So I think from third quarter, you should see U.S. sales come back to the original levels, right? So second quarter, we think, was an aberration.
Understood, sir. And just lastly, this upfront payment of $5 million to Cassiopeia, this would happen in this third quarter? How to think about it?
Yeah, it will happen in the third quarter, yeah.
But I think third quarter, against, we also have an income, you know, coming from Astria, right? You know, almost $15 million we've already received from Astria in Ichnos, right? So there is some income also in terms of on the innovation side.
Understood, sir. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Damayanti Kerai from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. I just need some more clarity on margins. So obviously you mentioned 2024 will be a transition year, and then for FY 2025, you mentioned take 200 basis points better margins on the core business part. But for the quarter, say, if I look at the numbers, 14.4, I'm excluding the Forex part. So that is anyway, I think, looking much lower than what we had seen previously. So can you specify whether the slower performance in India and U.S. contributed majorly towards it? And maybe in third quarter and fourth quarter, as India and U.S. comes back, we'll see better margins?
So, Damayanti, thanks for the question. So first and foremost, obviously, you know, if you factor in the currency loss, it will come to about almost 15.7. What we are saying is that this being a transition year, going forward, we are looking at, absolutely, we already guided in the past also, we look at about a 2% improvement because of, you know, reduction in the R&D cost. Plus, we also have, in the initial commentary we gave, that we are also looking at improvement in the margin expansion, you know, from various, from Ryaltris as well as from across other geographies like Europe and LATAM, okay? So therefore, this should significantly take our margins. So in terms of whatever we've been guiding in the past, we'll be closer to 19, okay? That's what we are working towards. Even in the second half, I do agree with your point that as India and the U.S., you know, kicks in better, so obviously you should see it improve, okay? So I think this is the trajectory we are looking at.
Okay, so you maintain that 19% margin trajectory for your business?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, as we already alluded, that is a transition year, but we are working towards that. I mean, over the years, we have tried to improve that, yeah.
Okay. My second question is in the U.S. business. So you mentioned some supply challenges, which you have resolved now. But can you comment a bit on the pricing part also? Because I guess what others or your peers have commented that prices are more or less stable. So how was it for your portfolio, and how do you see it for next, say, coming quarters?
So the pricing environment seems to be stabilizing. However, we are still seeing, you know, standard price erosion of roughly, you know, mid-single digit, around 5% odd, right, across the portfolio.
Okay. And can you also share update on Monroe regulation part? Because earlier, if I remember correctly, you mentioned somewhere in the second half of this fiscal we should be seeing some notable update there.
So in Monroe, we are pretty much done with most of the remediation. We are starting taking engineering batches this month, and followed by validation batches and commercial batches. So the remediation is pretty much done. Obviously, we would have a dialogue with the FDA before resuming commercial sales, either by way of a meeting, and we are also expecting an inspection at some point.
Any timeline where do you expect, like, FDA can likely re-inspect the facility?
It's extremely hard to predict that, but we have started the work where we have started taking batches and, you know, both first with engineering batches, followed by validations, and then commercial batches.
Okay. And in terms of cost also, you mentioned 26 crore was the remediation cost. That was specifically for the U.S. plant or?
No, no, that was, India was about 19.920 crores, and U.S. is about 6 crores. U.S. is much lower.
Okay.
We started on-
You are broadly done. Okay.
Yeah, it's come off, yeah.
I think, remediation, we are mostly done with everything at this point in terms of expenses, and I don't think, you know, going forward, we would have an exceptional item, as a remediation going forward.
Okay, that's helpful. Thank you very much.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star and one. The next question is from the line of Vikas Sharda from NT Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. Two questions. One is that the Ichnos spend in the first half has been higher than full year run rate guided of $60 million. So how should one look at that in the second half? And secondly, this 200 basis point margin expansion next year is only from R&D, or you're building in the royalties and the operating leverage in that?
So, good morning, Vikas. Thanks for the question. So, as you can see, you know, in the current year, in the first half, we have spent about 36 million, which last year was almost 43. So, in the 36 also, we have, in the first half of the year, normally we pay out bonuses, and there are some severance costs as we are going about restructuring the operations out there. So, we still are pretty much guiding to close to 60 plus is what we had said. We'll be thereabouts. So, we're not expecting that to substantially go. Give and take a few million here or there. So as far as Ichnos, that's where we are. And as you know, this year in the third quarter, we also received 15 million on licensing out. So those are other incomes that will keep coming in. And as far as the margin expansion is coming, I'd say 2% is basically from Ichnos, that is innovation. And the balance is what we are saying, that when we say that we'll take a trajectory from where we are today, almost a 3% plus, it's 2% is here, plus a 1% plus will come from all the, you know, margin expansion that we'll get from getting the, you know, increasing our businesses, operating leverage in Europe, LATAM. So those are things. And what we have not specifically even called out here is that as Monroe goes live, we'll also get, today we have a 25 million operating cost, which is also baked into our numbers. As we go along, even that will kick in next year. So I think all in all, that's how we are trying to run the run rate closer to where we are.
Yep, very good. One more question. How much of the Zetia payment has already been made and how much is pending? And also in the balance sheet, there's one item called current assets others, which has gone up in 6 months, like by almost 400 crores. So what is that for?
Yeah, so good questions again. So one is obviously we have paid more than 35 million plus for the Zetia, and also we also paid about one installment of the DOJ that came in. So these are all that went in. As far as the other current asset is concerned, Vikas, we had an input receivable going up almost 190 crore. That is largely on account of, as you know, when we make these payments outside India, we have to pay GST on that, which we can take credit against that. But as of now, that money is gone. Okay, so that is one money that has gone. So also, the other thing is that we have in the other current assets, PLI, which you accrued about 80 plus crores in the current year, which we have to get money from the government. I think they will plan somewhere in the second half to give us money. Also, apart from that, we also had some increase in our, you know, prepaid expenses, about 60, 70 crores, some advance payments to suppliers. So that is why it looks like a 400 crore jump. But I think as second half goes back, at least the input tax, some of those credits we can take and it will come off. So I think overall with the improvement in the business in the second half also, we should see cash coming back in the business. Yeah.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nitin Agarwal from DAM Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks. Manisha, on the guidance, can you help us understand the guidance for 25 a little better in terms of what EBITDA levels are we, EBITDA margin levels are we looking at?
So as I just guided that going forward, I mean, currently, obviously, this quarter, we are a little less than 16, but we gave a glide path how we'll go there. We said 2% will come basically from innovation R&D spend reduction and 1% from the expansion in the various markets. Also, obviously, as Monroe goes live, we'll also get some benefit. I have not put that in this. So overall, based on this, we are looking at a trajectory close to 19%.
19% for FY25?
Yes, 1925, yeah. This is a transition year, Nitin. I think we'll have to take it as the year comes. Yeah.
Which is fine. Secondly, you know, on the remediation costs, you know, what kind of positive impact do we see on account of that next year?
I don't see, I mean, as we all, you're talking of remediation costs further in the next year, is that what you're saying?
You know, what I meant is, you know, because we're saying they're going to be almost zero this year from here on. So what is the amount that people,
how much have we spent
this year?
So this year so far, I have spent about 77 crores. So that will not be there next year. But in any case, I'm calling it out separately. So that is not there next year. Yeah.
That is an additional lever which is probably there for us.
Yeah, there are additional levers that are there in terms of profits.
And Glenn, on the India business now, what is how are you looking at India from again a 2-3 year perspective here on?
I think, I mean, our view, Nitin, is our India business continues to remain very strong, right? I think between the RX business, you know, mainly driven by, you know, the respiratory, cardiac is doing exceedingly well for us, derm and then diabetes, right? I mean, we are pretty much leaders in three out of the four, right? We are among the top two, three players in three out of the four segments. So India business, RX continues to be strong. OTC, we are doing exceedingly well. So that's another growth lever going forward, which will contribute significantly to our India business. And then we have some a reasonable institution business that's doing well in terms of hospitals and institutions. So that'll come up as a new growth lever. So I think all in all, India will do well for us. I mean, on a sustained basis, you know, we feel very comfortable with like a 12%-15% growth coming out of India, right, for the next 3 years.
And likewise on the U.S., you know, while this year again is a Q2, you mentioned is a soft year, things will bounce back from Q3, but with Monroe and all probably beginning to come back from next year, and I guess some of your, I mean, how should one think about U.S.? You know, there has been some improvement in the outlook which has happened in general for other players on the U.S. side.
So I think the U.S. business, you know, next year will be mainly driven by some of the Monroe, you know, bringing back Monroe, some of the new launches that we have next year, right? And I think respiratory, you know, our respiratory play will start from, hopefully from next year. We are hoping to get our first approval in the respiratory space, and then we'll keep getting approvals from there on every year. So I think a lot of our U.S. build-out is primarily driven by respiratory and some complex products that we are working on. So it's hard to predict specifically in terms of numbers, but I mean, we have a good portfolio of products that we are filing, right? And assuming they all get approved and things are on track, right, the U.S. business should look strong, right, in the years to come.
And on that, Glenn, when are we looking to file the Flonase ANDA?
So the MDI, right, the Flonase, the fluticasone MDI, right, I mean, we are hoping to file around the end of this year, early next year, you know. So between Q4 and Q1, right, we will file the fluticasone MDI.
Okay. And lastly, you know, there's been very strong growth in both ROW and Europe. Now, how much of it is it largely Ryaltris driven, or is there more things which are sort of driving it?
I think Europe is more broad-based beyond Ryaltris. You know, Ryaltris is a big contributor, but we also have, you know, the four or five respiratory products that we are selling there are doing exceedingly well. And I think going forward, you know, we still believe that Europe will continue to outperform, right? I mean, 15-20% is the minimum growth trajectory that we are seeing for Europe, for our European business. ROW also is doing extremely well. We got a big approval in Brazil of salmeterol fluticasone, where we are the first, you know, it's the first generic approval, salmeterol fluticasone MDI. We also have, you know, the rest of ROW, which is Asia, Latin America, Middle East, Africa, Russia, CIS. All these geographies are doing well. Russia also, we got Ascoril LS, a big approval, which will be a big driver. And in most of these geographies, you know, they continue to do exceedingly well. So I think these two geographies will be significant growth drivers for us in the years to come. You know, for, and of course, India continues to do well. So U.S. is a big unknown. We are doing the right things in terms of portfolio, but, you know, given the uncertainties, we really struggle to put any number for the U.S. business.
Thanks. If I can squeeze the last one on with the scale-up which you're talking about in Europe and ROW, I mean, what kind of margin operating leverage do we see playing out in this business? I presume, I mean, and at some level, are these businesses, you know, below corporate level margins, or are they now past it?
Europe obviously was below corporate level till last year, right? I think this year it has come up closer to corporate level. And I think from next year, you can see further margin expansion coming out of Europe, right, as we go forward. ROW, you know, most geographies were almost at corporate level. Latin America was way down, right? I mean, I think that is adding almost 3% every year from year on, right? 3-4%, right? In terms of their EBITDA margin. So that itself is giving you some significant leverage coming through, right, as we go forward.
Thank you, and best luck.
Thanks, Atul.
Thank you. The next question is in the line of Krishnendu Saha from Quantum AMC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for very much, question, and good morning. Just a little bit of clarification, accounting clarification, and with the margin put together. From FY25 onwards, we will not have the Glenmark Life Science revenue and the margins in the accounts. So it's just like put it together.
Can you please repeat? I'm not able to
hear you. Mr. Saha. Sir, your audio is not clear. Can you use the handset mode while speaking?
Yeah. Can you hear me now?
Better.
Hello? Can you hear me?
Slightly better. Yeah. Please proceed.
Yeah. Yeah. On the accounting front, coupled with the margin question, just like understanding Glenmark Life Sciences revenue, which is right now currently in the console account, will not be there from FY25 onwards. So just trying to understand what kind of contribution do they do at the current level on a historic basis, say FY23 onwards, and how do we get 90% margin, but does it get affected because that number is not going to be there in the console if FY25?
We are struggling to hear you. Yeah. We just can't.
Hello? Hello, can you hear me? Hello?
Mr. Hello. Saha, your voice is sounding very muffled.
Yeah, it's completely muffled.
Just give me a second.
Sure, sir.
Yeah. I just wondering on the accounting part.
Sir, maybe request that you use the handset mode and not the speakerphone.
Yeah, I'm on the handset itself. That's the problem. Yeah. Just on the accounting part and on the margin part, just wondering because Glenmark Life Science will not be in the numbers from FY25 onwards. How does the margin look? Because they do contribute quite something to the margins on the console level. So just trying to understand that part.
So, Krishnendu, this is why we have, you know, as per accounting standard, this is how you see the margin today. And the earlier questions are also for the same. We have a continuing business and we have a discontinued business. So on the continuing business, taking Forex loss, we have a current quarter profit, EBITDA margin of about 15.7%. which we have given a clear trajectory and a glide path, how we'll go to 19, 2% from innovation R&D and from,
But I'm just wondering if I do the console, when right now currently when Glenmark Life Sciences is being consolidated, and in effect 25 when they are not, does it not impact the EBITDA margins? That's what I'm trying to
understand. So that impact is only we are absorbing, no? So I can't hear you clearly, but I'm just gathering what you're saying. It's hard to hear you out. From what I understand, you are telling that GLS margin will not be there. I agree. That is what we are making up by virtue of these measures by which we are reducing our innovation R&D spend, and we are looking at other markets which are doing better and growing, whose margins are expected to improve. So both put together, that is how we are expecting, and also with some support from as we go along with Monroe, etc., we are very confident we'll come closer to 19.
And I think, Krishnendu, over and above that, the key to take notice of is the PAT margins, okay? Because in next year, you will see a significant improvement in the PAT margin. So not only are we maintaining, getting to that 19%+ EBITDA margin, right? But we're also expecting a significant improvement in the PAT margin compared to where we've been, right, along with GLS. So that should drive, the next year.
Yeah, that I got absolutely on the spot. Just to understand, this is nothing to do with your guidance or whatever. Just to understand, is there 100% consolidation on the PAT margin for GLSS to on the console level, or is there something getting something, because we're not selling 100% So how does the console, do we have 100% of the profit of GSL in the console? That's what I'm trying to understand. That's the last question.
So the entire 100% of the EBITDA margin, all is removed of GLS. There is nothing of GLS left back in the continuing business. It's completely out. Yeah.
Yeah.
In future, whatever we buy at arm's length. Okay. So there is no reduction.
No, sir. I'm talking about historically. So if I 23-22 numbers, the numbers which are getting consolidated, do they match total the 100% of the profit of TSL into the console? Is it like if they earn 100, does it reflect 100 in the EBITDA margin? Is it like that on a historic basis?
The entire margin of GLS is removed from here, okay? It's net. It's not there in the continuing
business. No, I'll get back. I'll get back. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Utkarsh Gandhi for his closing comments.
Thanks, Lizanne. We'll quickly read the disclaimer before we end the call. The documents prepared and discussed during the call today, including information, statements, and analysis describing the company or its affiliates' objectives, projections, or estimates, are forward-looking statements. These are based on current expectations, forecasts, and assumptions and are subject to risks and uncertainties, which could cause actual outcomes to differ materially from these statements, depending upon economic conditions and other incidental factors. So no representation or warranty is provided in relation to this document, and it should not be regarded by recipients as a substitute for the exercise of their judgment. The company undertakes no obligation to update or revise any forward-looking statements, whether as a result of new information, future events, or otherwise. With that, we can close the call. Thank you, everyone, for joining us today.
Thank you, members of the management team. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Glenmark Pharmaceuticals Limited, that concludes this conference call. We thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.